Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey everyone, it's Jeremy, and this week's patron bonus exclusive episode of Retronauts tackles a game we've covered once or twice in passing, but never as a full topic. Squaresoft's epic RPG, Xenogears, by patron request of Matthew Salisbury, who also shows up in this episode. Now, I've used Xenogears as a punching bag and a punchline for decades, actually. I was a bit vocal in my dislike of the game back when it was brand new. On the other hand, the other guest this episode, Andrew Vestal, formerly of the Gaming Intelligence Agency and founder of the official Squaresoft homepage, which is now RP Gamer, was a huge Xenogears fan and proponent. In fact, he was the guy who launched the American petition to have the game localized back in the day when it seemed like it wasn't going to come to the US. So what happens when you put these two polar opposite opinions together in a podcast? Well, it turns out we've both grown up a lot since those days, and our opinions have become a lot more nuanced. So the result is actually one of the best Retronauts conversations we've ever recorded. It's nuanced and interesting. So if that's your kind of thing, having thoughtful talks about big, messy RPGs, you'll definitely want to subscribe to the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts at the $5 a month level or higher. You'll gain immediate access to this episode, as well as every other patron-exclusive episode we've recorded over the past year, as well as a year's worth of columns by Diamond Fight and little mini-podcasts to go with them. So please enjoy the preview and then head over to patreon.com/retronauts and join today. It's even better than the Fun Club, Mac. It's really hard to express, if you haven't played this game, just how many personalities this game has. It's wild. It's a wild ride.
And you just kind of jump straight into it. And so I'm going to add kind of my thesis statement there too, which is that I think that the story that Xenogears was trying to tell was too complicated for 1998, but that in 2020, we have the tools and we have the understanding of complex, sprawling media that we didn't have at the time. And so we can understand it a little bit better. Xenogears is a game that you play as a kid on your PlayStation from hour one to hour 80 is a bit of a mess. Xenogears is something that you read the wiki, that you read the translation of the Xenogears Perfect Works art book that was released a year after the game was in Japan, that you argue about fan theories, that you watch YouTube videos. Like, Xenogears was predating that participatory narrative, I think, that is so common to so many really large, complex products where, yeah, one person can never keep the whole thing in their head at once because you're expected to go out into these other mediums to extend your understanding of the game world and to fully encompass this gigantic story that's being told.
Yeah, it's funny because when you see the end credits of this game, it says episode 5. As if, you know, it's part of a much bigger saga, but it feels like a game that should have been broken into 5 episodes all on its own. Like, break it into little chunks and manage each one and tell, you know, the different kind of phases of the story and the world. But instead, it's all here. It's all on these two discs. And there's so much that they didn't actually finish the game. It's insane. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's called episode 5, but, you know, we'll talk about this a lot later, but the story of Xenogears is told in different time periods, and they actually brought a lot of what they considered the narrative of episode 2, 3, and 4 kind of forward into Xenogears and just told it all at once and non-linearly. And it's just, you know, it's definitely one of those I've been writing furiously in notebooks since I was 12, and I have built a world 3,000 double spaced pages long, and I'm just going to jam it all into one game because I don't know if I'm ever going to get this chance again. And that ambition is the strength and weakness of the game. The fact that it is everything. It is all in there.
Yeah. So Matt, where were you and kind of what was your station in life when this game came out? Like, at what point did you discover it?
I know it came out in 98, which would have put me at age 15 in high school.
That's the perfect age.
Yeah. And just 2 years before was definitely like when Evangelion started coming here. And I was definitely into that because I distinctly remember that the children in Evangelion were my age. So I was 13, watching 13-year-olds go through, you know, this crazy thing. And then I had just gotten a PlayStation a year before, gotten Final Fantasy VII, got, you know, in love with RPGs. And they really started, Squaresoft really started branching off as a company. And I think I jumped next to Parasite Eve, which I likely would have been able to have bought with my first job, which I was working at McDonald's at the time. And I probably wasn't able to afford Xenogears until, like, you know, probably later the next year. But yeah, so it was definitely high school. Me and my friends were in Japanese club, so it was easy to talk about anime and video games and all the stuff coming out of Japan. So there's like a lot of, like you were saying earlier, is like there's like a communal experience when you play this game, is if you're playing it with a bunch of other people, you get to like talk out parts of the game and you all draw from different experiences and it kind of becomes bigger than the sum of its parts. So mm-hmm. It was a really interesting game.
I guess Parasite Eve has come up twice already, once for the demo disc and once as kind of just an introduction. I think it's really worth kind of mentioning just after the success of Final Fantasy VII, like 97, 98, 99, were just incredibly fertile years for Squaresoft on the PlayStation. You had Einhander, you had Parasite Eve, you had Xenogears, you had Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon 2, that you had Tobal.
You had the Saga games, my friend.
How could I forget?
How could you forget?
All the therapy, all that expensive therapy is how I finally forgot. But Square was, they weren't batting 1,000, but they were taking so many at-bats and everything was pretty good and interesting in its own way. And so part of what made Xenogears so interesting is you had no idea what Square was going to be turning out next at this time because they were working with so many creatives, so many new and younger talent that they were bringing in, has so much more budget and flexibility as the result of the success of Final Fantasy VII. And the company was just exploding.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.